Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my guest is Emily Filaramo. She is author of How to Permanently Erase Negative Self-Talk So You Can Be Extraordinary. Are there areas in your life that you just can't seem to get traction, get over, get happy, or get unstuck? Or no amount of therapy, positive thinking, body work books, or pharmaceutical cures can fix? How to permanently erase negative self-talk so you can be extraordinary teaches you how to access the real cause of your struggles, the negative messages imprinted on the subconscious since childhood, and heal the wounded parts of you that you're holding on to, the pain, the misunderstandings, and the gut-wrenching memories that prevent you from healing well. It demonstrates a little-known, cutting-edge technique to get rid of these messages, overcome fears and self-doubts, and get unstuck and unleashed. If you're tired of burying the pain with addiction or fed up with depression, anxiety, and disease, then it's time to stop attacking yourself emotionally and get access to the wealth, health, and relationships and happiness you truly deserve. For more information, you can visit Emily's website, which is www.bemoreextraordinary.com. And I do have a direct link to Emily's website in the show page description. So then I'd like to welcome Emily to the show. Good day, Emily. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello, Rob. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Great.
I really appreciate you joining me today. I'm one of those who knows that negative self-talk real well. So.
Well, you know, we don't have to blame ourselves when we have negative self-talk because everyone does it to some extent because we all have had some sort of devaluing experience from the past that makes us have fears and insecurities, and the good news is we can get over them.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I definitely I like the idea of permanently erasing them. So, but you know, I like to usually have my guests start by giving the listeners a little bit of background of themselves and kind of how they got to the point of, you know, doing what they are. And I, you know, read your biography and you have definitely have some experience with that negative self-talk. So would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm glad to share that with them. I'm originally from Taiwan, and I came over to the United States at the age of 9. And so I'm an immigrant. We lived in L.A., and then we moved to New York. I went off to college. Then after college, I studied nutrition in college. And then I got a corporate job in the pharmaceutical field selling pharmaceuticals for the next 27 years. And so back in 2011, after 27 years of the working corporate life, I was handed the pink slip. And so after not materializing another job like the one I had before, it was time to jump into entrepreneurship because a friend of mine, who is my money manager, actually planted the seed in my ears to say, Emily, you should be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, what? Never had I even ever thought of doing that as something that I was perfectly capable of. And what's interesting is, you know, it's really, really an illustration of he saw something bigger than me that I didn't even know that I had. Because your closest friends and family, they're not going to be the ones that are telling you you're phenomenal. It's usually your second degree and third degree connections that just has this outside view of you. And so he's really responsible for this journey. I didn't take his advice on it immediately, but after 5 months, I said, well, you know what? I'm not getting another job. I guess it's meant to be. And I jumped all in and to build out a business. And so I built it out as a nutritionist first because that's what I studied in college. It just made sense. But after a year and a half of coaching people on how to lose weight and get healthy, I was just like, oh, I really don't want to get up in the morning and tell people how to eat their green beans and green smoothies. You know?
Uh-huh.
Because most people know that's what they're supposed to do, but why don't they do it? And it was like they have to get released the emotional baggage. And so many of these clients had already been through therapists, and they just weren't getting the results of really believing in themselves. So one thing led to another. I ended up running into somebody that said that I should get trained in this, and I ended up meeting somebody in New York who I became really good friends with in one of these networking groups. And so this first client, he started to get very vulnerable with me. He didn't become a client right away, but in his vulnerability of sharing with me how he was stuck despite his 3 designer diplomas and despite his desire to unleash to his entrepreneurial journey, because he was in a corporate job and he quit because he hated it and he was trying to launch into his greatness of his passion, and he wasn't manifesting anything. So I was getting trained in this modality, and I said, well, if you are willing to be my guinea pig client, I'm more than happy to help you because apparently, you know, 20 years of therapy got you stable, but it's not helping you to unleash the real self. Because, you know, the story is you will only be unleashed to the level of how you feel about yourself and what your energy is all about. And so, you know, some people have built massively, wildly crazy businesses. But if you look at, because they were so driven by their wounds, or I mean, look at Steve Jobs, you know. So some companies like Apple and whatever, if you read the biographies of these people, they were very, very wounded, emotionally wounded. But then you could have you could have all the money in the world, but if you're not truly happy with yourself or are in love with yourself, you know, it shows up in your relationships or your health or your addictions and all of that. So anyhow, so everybody has everybody, 99% of the people have some area of their life where it's not working in the right way. And that is really a gift to you to show you that there's stuff that you need to do. But anyhow, back to my story. So how did I even get the courage to do all the work and learn everything and not be afraid to meet people in my entrepreneurial journey of jumping in and making lots of mistakes, weathering lots of rejections and failures and speed bumps, because that's a given in the entrepreneurial world. Well, that's because 10 years prior to that, I had, in my 40s, I had fallen into a depression and anxiety provoked by a situation in my life, and I kept trying to blame this other person. But it was really a gift for me to see that this person that was so pushing my buttons was reminding me of something in my past that was not right. And so I had to do a lot of work in terms of getting over that, because you cannot, so here's the message, you cannot sweep your baggage under the rug. You have to reparent these parts of you that are stuck in the past and tell them that you love them, and you go in through the doorway of the parts of you that are just, that you don't like all that much. You know, eats too much, shops too much, drinks too much, procrastinates, works too much, gambles, anything. The part of you that gets angry, controlling, because overall, all extreme behaviors, feelings, and beliefs that are protecting these vulnerable parts of you that experience emotional burdens. And so that's what happened to me. And in order for me to really, you know, erase that negative self-talk and limiting beliefs and believe that I am destined for greatness no matter what, that gift was given to me 10 years prior. And so when I jumped into entrepreneurship in March of 2012, I went full in. I was able to just get my overachieving parts and my productive parts to get it all cooking. And I really wasn't afraid of rejection and afraid of failure or success. And so that is what has cooked me along, and that has the nutrition work turned into becoming this Be More Extraordinary Magician, because the universe basically planted all of these opportunities for me, including meeting a publisher at a reception where I knew nobody. I was talking to some stranger that just kept grilling me all these questions about my line of work. And 20 minutes later, it turned out that he was a publisher, and he says, I love your energy, I love your platform, I love what you speak about. Do you ever have plans on writing a book? And I said, yeah. You know, 2 weeks prior, I just wrote in my journal that writing a book in 2014 was my top priority, because you know, my first guinea pig client had such great results after 20 hours of coaching. And he just got fully unleashed, and he manifested over $10 million worth of business in his line of work, which is so rare because he got out of his own way. And then other clients just became the most extraordinary version of themselves. And so basically we polished up the diamond of who they really are, because that diamond of who you really are, that soul in the spirit of who you know that you're supposed to be, that gets all dirtied up because of all the emotional events that we go through. So we're all diamonds underneath.
Yeah, very much.
So that's how this work. That's
one of the things that I love about that particular story is that, you know, each step of the way you were open and receptive to opportunities that were presented to you, you know, and to me that's like a key to being able to manifest, you know, because these things happen, but unless you keep your eyes open or even like you said, you know, put it in a journal, you know, this is what you want to manifest, you know, those kinds of things don't come to fruition, you know. I mean, it really requires that openness to be able to have that work.
Yes. And it's also, you really have to, there is no way around this. You have to have the courage to do scary things. And yes, you will get beaten up. I've been beaten up quite a number of times, and I've gotten, you know, I've gotten down and dirty. I've cried on many occasions, and sometimes I just felt like quitting. So you just have to have the courage to keep going, and also have a community of people that support you.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah, I've been there too. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that, you know, very clearly. And, you know, and I think that's the thing that people, I hope that people will, you know, gather from our discussion today, is that, you know, there's going to be that kind of that roller coaster in a way. There will be the ups and the downs, but it's just a matter of what you do about it, you know. And, you know, each day really provides an opportunity, you know, to make something. Now, the one thing that I would like to start with is, you know, the idea of negative self-talk. I mean, you know, a lot of us get that, you know, programming, much of that programming from our childhood. And when you mentioned that really it was your second and third kind of level of connection that, you know, that really kind of sees the potential in you, to me, that seems, you know, for people who are out there who have that, I mean, there's not only just negative self-talk, but there's also that negativity from the first connections, you know, those who are immediately connected, because that, I mean, that to me, you know, when I first did my first book, I mean, that's where I got the most negativity. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't seem right.
Yes, and so here's the thing that people always have to realize. Your negativity from the first degree, you know, a lot of them are your family members and you have a history, and there are certain dynamics that happen, and things happen because we all have a need to feel significant, to feel loved, to feel worthy. And so sometimes we show up in ways that are trying to show mom and dad something, or to show that brother that we were always in the shadows of, that we keep driving ourselves to try to achieve. To like, when am I going to feel important? I'll show him. I'll make $1 million or whatever that talk is inside of your head. So as you're doing these scary things to try to make your million, your relatives, your first degree people are going to notice, because as you are getting into your greatest self and you are unleashing you, you are pushing their buttons. Because you're pushing their buttons because you're doing the work. and they're looking at you, like, and they're feeling ashamed that they're not doing the same thing as you. So they need to criticize you. They don't even know it. They need to criticize you to put you back in your box so they can feel better about themselves.
Yeah, that's, you know, to me, that, and it, that was the one thing that was, for me, it was really kind of difficult to let go of, you know, and to to recognize, to see really exactly what the motives were behind the criticism, you know, because it's, it, and many times that criticism reinforced my mistaken beliefs.
Yes.
Yeah. So now that's okay. So that's one thing for the listeners also. When you're out there, I mean, in addition to working on your own internal negative self-talk, just be aware of, you know, those that are close, your first degree people, and recognize that some of the negativity coming from them isn't, you know, sometimes it's about them, you know, trying to put themselves in a better light. So.
Yeah. Well, because when you stand out as a tall poppy, all their insecurities get pushed.
Yeah.
So they're feeling like, ooh, I'm not in the cool club anymore. It's reminding them of when they were bullied at school and they didn't feel like they were good enough. They don't even know that's happening. But if you're aware of that's why they need to criticize you, then you can release them, not let their opinions come into your energy.
Yeah, very much. Now, one of the things that I think prevents us from being extraordinary and kind of living in that greatness is that, you know, a lot of our actions are based on past hurts and that wounding that you talked about just a little bit a while ago. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how our actions kind of prevent us from moving forward based on those hurts?
When you say actions preventing you from moving forward, meaning, you know, I'll give you a recent example that I had, which illustrates this beautiful point.
Great.
So weight issues. A lot of people have health and weight issues. They go on the diet January 1st, and they keep yo-yoing back and forth. So I have this client that has about 15 pounds that she needed to lose, and she's a very attractive woman. But inside, she just doesn't believe that she's beautiful. And she, no matter how hard she tries, she'll lose a few, but she can't sustain the healthy habits. And so we got to know this protective part of her that doesn't want her to lose weight. And as it turns out, this part of her was taken on very early that it doesn't want her to shine, because shining meant that she was going to be criticized and bullied because she has red hair. Strawberry blonde, I mean, not that character of red hair, but strawberry blonde hair, but it was red enough that it stood out from the other kids. And so she was constantly teased by her brother, constantly teased by the kids. And as it turned out, there's this part of her that just did not want her to lose weight and be really confident and walk into a room like a sexy human being, was afraid that she was going to get criticized if she gets noticed in that way. Because this part that doesn't want her to lose weight remembers what it felt like to stand out. And so she stood out as a redhead. And that redhead experience actually was the part that was keeping her back from getting the body that she wanted.
Now that's the perfect example of what I meant. That, you know, that standing out and the being picked on or bullied or, you know, standing out, that, you know, was uncomfortable. So in really trying to correct the situation, how did you help her overcome that, you know, the mistaken belief of standing out leads to, you know, criticism or isn't very productive?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. So we go in, this model of healing I'm talking about is based on internal family systems developed by Dr. Richard Schwartz. It's probably the most powerful form of psychospiritual healing that there is. And I'm taking it beyond psychotherapy to help people to unleash their greatness. So we go in through the parts of you that you're not crazy about. I'm not crazy about this part of me that doesn't want me to shed the extra weight. Or if you have drinking part or angry part or shopping too much part, you go in through that doorway because your behaviors, feelings, and thoughts that are in a little extreme, those are the doorways that you have to go into. You have to befriend these parts. Befriending these parts is going to have these parts of you tell their story. So this woman with a weight issue, this part told her it's not safe. You know, I came on to protect you because I don't believe that it's safe for you to stand out as a tall poppy. And if you stand out as that beautiful redhead that walks into a room, I'm afraid that you're going to get criticized. And if you get criticized, then you're going to feel emotional pain. And I'm protecting you from that emotional pain. And this is, and so let's call her Martha. Martha's like, I get it. Now I get you. I so appreciate you for protecting me in this way. And what job would you rather do if you did not have to work so hard to protect? Well, I'd rather be the part that helps you to get exercise, get the exercise that you need every day and motivate you. But no, because of this 8-year-old little girl that I'm protecting that distinctly remembers how she was made fun of for being a redhead at school, no, I'm not going to let you because this part still thinks that she's 8 years old. So it's the 8-year-old that's running her life, protecting her from the criticism and rejection. And so when this protective part gave us permission, it downloaded the memory, the image of where the 8-year-old part of her was in the schoolyard playing with the friends, and these bullies started making fun of her. And so I had to guide her. She's in her late 30s. I had to guide her to go back into the schoolyard and be with that little girl and tell her who is coming back to rescue her. Because this little girl, when she was made fun of, she had nobody there to tell how much pain she was in from getting criticized or getting bullied. So now her highest version of who she is, the highest adult self, can go back there and reparent this little girl. And so I guided her to do that. We rescued that little part out of the past and brought into the present. And then after we did that and unburdened her, she was carrying on the burden. It's not safe to stand out. Therefore, we're showing up in her lack of progress with weight loss. And so now that little girl is out of the past, then the protective part of her that used to protect her from getting teased, like, we rescued her out of the past. Now she believes that it is safe to shine because she's got the resources to shine. She's an adult now. She's no longer 8 years old. So then the original protector that wanted her not to lose weight can transform into this other job that it would rather have, which is to keep on top of her with exercise and healthy eating. So these parts of you become your inner team, the cheerleaders, to move you forward as you drive the bus of your life forward in whatever area that you want to improve.
Yeah. Okay. So, and by the way, this is called internal family systems is the process that you use, correct?
Yes. Yes, it's called internal family systems. You know what? If people want a download of the steps of internal family systems, they can go to nonegativetalk.com and get an immediate download of the steps.
Okay, great. Nonegativetalk.com. Great. That would be great. So now in this particular example, the system that was set up to protect her, then from when I was listening to that, to me it sounds particularly because, again, a lot of these negative self-talk or the negative beliefs that seem to be manifest, you know, in our adulthood, you know, have their roots in childhood, you know, or in, you know, in youth, you know. And so in that particular case, it seems that the idea of protection, you know, is a like is like a key component. You know what I mean? It's like a plug that kind of stops things, from creating the hurt and the pain, but then it also stops other things as well.
Yes, exactly. The very thing that they're trying to protect, sometimes they don't even know that they're hurting you instead. And
yeah.
So it's all our protective system, and this is about, because our protective system, the parts of us, eats too much, drinks too much, you name it, these are the parts that, if we consciously think of them, and you ask, how do you feel towards those parts of you? I hate them. Well, if you hate somebody, it doesn't go away. They just keep doing more things to hate you. So these parts of you, if they sense that you hate them, they're not going to cooperate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the model of healing is called internal family system, because we are a family of our parts. Our emotions, feelings, and beliefs, our parts, these protective parts. And the interesting thing is, when these protective parts, when we get to know them, the clients often have images. Yeah, that part, my numbed out part, whoa, that's like an armor around me. The other day I had a session with another client. His protective part saw it as a monkey that likes to do a gazillion things. And then the monkey was doing too much. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't taking care of himself. So he went to overdrive because of some trauma that he had. And after we rescued that exiled, traumatized part out of the past, then the monkey took on a new role of just prioritizing. And let's not overwork you. Let's prioritize in each area of your life. And it's so great when I follow up with these clients 24, 48 hours later. Some people only need like one deep dive, 2 to 3 hour session. Other people need, for the clients that I work with, anywhere between 6 to 30 hours of coaching in this modality to get fully unleashed. And so when I check up on him, he's like, wow, the monkey's like, I'm doing this for my health, this for my career. He's just fully on board. And it's just so beautiful when they see a visual of these parts.
Yeah, very much so. I think that makes it easier to get a handle on when you have a visual. We're going to take just a quick break here, Emily, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to ask Emily any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. For those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Emily, feel free to type it in and we will be sure to get to that. So, Emily, I'm going to take just a quick 90-second break here.
Sure.
And then when we return, I'd like to kind of talk about, as far as the you mentioned baggage, how people can identify, sometimes we have this baggage, but it's like, I didn't know I had so many bags, to check in.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about that so people can kind of get an idea to how to look at their life and find out what it is that they have, okay?
Great.
Great. Good. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all occasion unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my guest is Emily Filaramo, and she is the author of How to Permanently Erase Negative Self-Talk So That You Can Be Extraordinary. Again, you can find out more about Emily by visiting her website, which is www.bemoreextraordinary.com. And I do have a direct link again to her website in the show page description. So with that, we're back, Emily.
Yes.
Great. And now on your homepage, there is a video of you, and people can go in and watch that. It's great to be able to see and hear you at the same time. But in that, you offer a free ebook for people to download. So would you mind telling the listeners what that is?
Why These 7 Crippling Fears Stop You From Being Extraordinary. And these are fears that most of us don't even know we have.
So the seven fears, and you know, that was kind of, you know, when I mentioned before break about baggage and some of the things that we don't know, so many times these things are just below our awareness. I mean, they're part of that subconscious, almost automatic responses that we really don't give much thought to.
Yeah. And we don't even know, because some people have had very traumatic childhood experiences, and those events get really locked away in the subconscious. It's in the memory bank somewhere. And the more traumatizing they are for some people, the more locked away they are. You don't even remember that they're there. And so that's why, if that's the case, then, you know, to do any of this trauma work, it is not, it would be irresponsible of me to say that you could do this yourself. You could do part of the work yourself, getting to know your protectors. It's a very defined step of questions that you could ask. So by going to nonegativetalk.com, you can get the steps of the questions that you need to ask in order to get to know this part of you that eats too much, works too much, shops too much, that gets angry or procrastinates. And then if you want to continue the work, you know, there's great value and great relief in getting to know the protectors. And if you want to continue the work, then you do need to hire someone that's trained in internal family systems. I work with a specific bucket of game changers that want to quantum leap to the next level. And if your audience, you know, if they don't fit that description, then you could go to the internal family systems website, which is selfleadership.org. And there's a whole listing of psychotherapists who are trained in internal family systems in your local area.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, so now let's talk a little bit about baggage. You know, how is it, I mean, how, for people out there who probably, there's probably a, maybe even an awareness that there is baggage, but it's, how it's exactly what shape a bag, you know, what does a bag really, you know, like you use the example of the weight, you know, losing the weight, but it was tied to the idea of like a self-image. And I mean, you know, the self-esteem. And so, I mean, in that kind of sense, it's like the symptoms that you exhibit may, you know, be the cause may not be real clear. I mean, there may be kind of a circuitous kind of connection to it.
Yes. And so let me give you another example then. Fear of success. Many of us, like, okay, I want to make a lot of money, or I want to make my dent in the world. Well, yeah, we all do. But when it comes down to actually doing it, when you are really successful, or if you have the desire to be, if you're a scientist that does like experiments behind closed doors, well, if you're really good, you're going to be publishing papers. And if you publish papers, you're going to have to speak in front of people. So you can't really, for the most part, hide from that. So here is one of the deepest fears, and that is actually fear of success. And that goes back to that illustration that I made about that being that tall poppy, whether it be your weight area, your success area. Marianne Williamson famously said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Because being inadequate is easy. because much of the world feels that they are inadequate. So everyone's kind of living with their compatriots, and everyone's kind of suffering the same thing. Our deepest fear, it's not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is we are powerful beyond measure. And it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And who am I, you know, who are we to ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? We're asking that because of all these traumatized parts of us that don't believe we're fabulous and brilliant. And so it is frightening to shine our light because it's criticism and rejection, which brings us back to childhood memories of maybe Dad gave you that look that said, a B on a report card? What's the matter with you, Johnny? What the hell is the A?
Even to this day, when I'm out and about and I hear parents say things like, you know, you're such a pain in the, you know, whatever, you know, or that, you know, I mean, or yell and just criticize, you know, and I watch the child's face and I can see them, you know, just taking it in, you know, and boom, you know, all of a sudden that, you know, that belief system, you know, and I'm particularly sensitive to that, and again, because I grew up with a lot of that, you know, but when I see that, I mean, it's kind of like I want to, you know, shake the parent and say, listen, you know, do you realize what you just said, to your kid, you know, and, but see, so I guess my, you know, words to parents out there is just, you know, be aware of your words, you know, because they're really powerful, and they really do create, I mean, it really sets the stage for the success of your child when they become an adult.
Yes, unfortunately. And the reason why many parents don't even know how to parent is because they've been programmed with negative beliefs about themselves. And if apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, and many of them are just passing on what they heard their parents say to them. So in order to become the best parents ever, if you do this healing yourself, because every one of us needs this parts work healing, internal family systems healing. Even if you've been through therapy for 30 years, there's always cleanup duty to do. And as you reparent these parts and you realize, wow, those parts of me got frozen because mom spanked me, or because dad said the B wasn't good enough, you realize, ooh, am I creating an exiled, vulnerable part? If I say this to him, you're such a dumb kid. Why did you miss that goal? You're going to be so much more cognizant of how you're supposed to turn that into a positive. I'm so proud of you for the efforts that you're making at this talker game. How do you feel about missing that goal? I really wish I did. I know I could have done it better. Mom and Dad are really proud of you. So how can we help you to improve next time? So it's learning a way of languaging stuff that you want to say. It's a positive message wrapped around that. It's you helping them, showing compassion for the part of them that didn't step up to the plate.
And helping them work through the emotions of it, that becomes a system for them to use later in life, you know, to be able to, you know, when confronted with the same kind of situation, to be able to do that. One of the things that you know, we talked a little bit about money, you know, and you know, being wealthy. Let's talk a little bit about how the negative self-talk, or, you know, some of the past experiences prevent people from, you know, manifesting or recognizing or, you know, bringing about abundance, not necessarily, you know, over, you know, super wealthy, but enough to be free, to be able to do what one wants to do.
That's a great question.
There are a lot of people who grow up in poverty, so they see poverty, you know, and they maybe sometimes recognize that poverty is a quote, natural state in a way, you know, or their parents say, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and it creates all kinds of stuff with that. If you wouldn't mind talking just a little bit about, that negative, how people can kind of permanently erase, some of that negative self-talk and when it comes to abundance, financial abundance.
Okay, financial abundance, great. So there is a law that is called the law of magnetism. You will not attract what you want into your life. You will attract who you are. So if you have any dark energies or heavy energies that are the shame that you're holding on to from the past, those are the thoughts and the beliefs and emotions that are stuck in the past. This energy will not attract the goodness that you want into your life. So it's not about, okay, let me just buy this program that says I can make $1 million in 3 years if I just implement these steps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there may be some good information on how to put those pieces into place. And if you're following the directions on how to do that in your networking and doing what you need to do to get yourself known or trying to get promoted at work, if deep down inside there are these parts of you that really at its core feel like you're not enough and you're holding on to the burdens of how mom used to tell you that you're ugly and you're never going to be as good as your sister, you're like, you shoved it under the rug. Well, people will sense that less than genuine darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's darkness and less than genuine. If you're trying to push too hard with an energy of, let me just ask this person this, and that forceful energy that we come across some people as, they're just like in your face. It's all about energy. So how you show up in that energy, if there is baggage underneath, it will show up in some way. You're controlling, you're angry and whatever, and then you're trying to network, and people are just like, he's got a great idea, but I don't mind his energy.
Yeah.
And so if you're not attracting the abundance that you want, you could be attracting all the money abundance, but let's say if you're not attracting what's not in your right in your life, is if you're not attracting the right relationships. So it's showing up there. For some people, it shows up as money. For some people, it shows up as relationship issues. Other people, it shows up as weight issues. It's the same thing. It's about looking in and doing the inner work, because you can only get so far in life and feel really centered if you do the inner work of being more self-aware and understanding what makes you who you are and doing some of the unburdenings of these limiting beliefs that you didn't even know you are carrying inside of you.
Yeah, very much so. Okay, that's great. Now, when, the whole idea, one of the you talk about, being extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I don't know, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there are people who don't see themselves as having the potential to be extraordinary. I mean, I've talked to folks about writing a book, and I would say, well, you've got a wonderful story to tell, blah, blah. And it's like, who would want to, know about me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just ordinary.
Yeah.
I'm just, that kind of thing. So how can someone out there, if they feel that they're just average, it's like there's nothing special about me. How can that person start to tap into the idea that they have the potential to be extraordinary?
Well, it's asking the right questions. It's asking them, are you happy with your life being what you see as average? Are you happy mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally? What's not right in your life? And a lot of people just don't even want to look because it's too painful to look, to even admit to yourself. And they have to want it. First step is being aware. And then being aware, like, okay, do I want to do the work of being extraordinary or show up as my extraordinary self? Because if you show up as your extraordinary self, then you have to be accountable for to stuff. Because people who are, let's say, have diseases, some people with diseases and emotional issues, it's a nice excuse to stay in the darkness. See, it is our light, not our darkness that most frightens us. It's really easy to stay in darkness and complain. Then you don't have to be accountable. If you have to be accountable, that means you do the work. If you do the work, that means eventually something will manifest. And if something manifests, then you know what? You could become that tall poppy. And that it's a whole circle of the sphere is your light, not your darkness. So instead of trying to convince people, you know, you're more extraordinary than you think you are. Well, you could say that, and then you said, how happy are your life? What do you want? Is everything cooking? Cooking in the right way? And if they say, yeah, I'm fine. Like, okay. And they could have a denial part of them that's like, no, I'm not going there. This happens with many men, especially some of the men who have been bullied and shamed a lot as kids. They have driven to be driven to succeed, and they're in politics, on Wall Street, they're CEOs of big companies, and a lot of times these people as leaders, they're rough around the edges and they're toxic. And some of these people, you can't even break that shell through. You can't break through that there is something underneath that is not having them show up as a compassionate leader. So with someone like that, in this model of healing, you would have to work with the part of them that doesn't even know that there's something wrong with them, that it's in denial. And so men in relationships, a lot of them are emotionally dead. And it's just they're afraid to touch into their emotions because boys have been trained. Boys don't cry. And so that is a lot of what has to be unburdened in men, is that fear of vulnerability because they were shamed when they did cry.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that socialization aspect, you know, a girl should do, a boy should do, you know, that kind of thing, you know, that really kind of does set the stage for many limiting belief systems, you know, that children have. And, you know, and if someone falls outside of what one should do, according to who knows why, you know, then it does create that that shutdown or the closing off and really kind of misdirects people, I think, away from their natural gifts.
Yes, absolutely. Because we all have natural gifts, and I had a client who was supposed to be who was born to be very creative and happy. And those parts of her, when she showed as a young kid, got shut down because mom would always criticize. Stop being so happy. Stop drawing. Do your homework. Whatever. And so that got shut down. And a couple of parts of her in her adolescent years ended up in a psych hospital because she just like hid in the closet because she couldn't express herself. And so the parents decided to send her off, and she spent 7 days in the psych ward. There's nothing wrong with her. But because she was so defiant. And so how did that show up years later? So she's someone in her 40s. She had debilitating back pain for 20 years. Debilitating. With sciatica, you know, with pains down the legs and MRIs and CAT scans and physical, you name it, she's tried it all. She even thought she had a tumor. Then we did the work of getting to know back pain. So 20 years struggle with back pain, and 4 hours with me over 2 sessions, completely cured of her back pain. And it's because the back pain was protecting her from emotional pain of success. Because if she actually got over the back pain and had the energy, this part was afraid, if she had the energy to go and manifest her success, then she was going to get criticized and judged because she is successful. You get rejections and criticisms when you're successful. So this back pain believes it is easier and more predictable to be burdened with physical pain than to suffer emotional pain.
Yeah.
And that emotional pain was going to remind of the part that was stuck in the psychiatry hospital.
Yeah.
So we used all that.
And it seems that, one of the, a key component in that is that sometimes we get, or people get, comfortable in our pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, I know this pain, and I've dealt with it. I may not like it, but I know it, and
yeah.
then it's, but it's, I guess, boy, I don't know how many people I know who, have that pain, who give lip service to wanting to remove it, but then really don't, like you say, do the work, to be able to really kind of get to the root of what is causing it, And many times it's that emotional, spiritual aspect,
mm-hmm.
that is a key component, is that makes the physical manifestation.
Yeah. Because you're not in spiritual alignment with the real you. So that's why this is psycho-spiritual healing. This is about
yeah.
you, the highest spirit of who you are, who you know, imagine yourself to be. Becoming that man or the woman that you actually dream of becoming, that your real self, that's the part of you, the real self, has the power to fall madly in love with yourself. When you fall madly in love with yourself, it's actually falling in love with all of these parts of you that these young parts of you, like your family of children. It's you. And when you fall madly in love with yourself, that energy will attract your dream life, your dream people that you want to surround yourself with, and those opportunities, because it's that energy that is just so magnetizing to other people. And when
yeah,
you do this work, you fall madly in love with yourself.
When I saw that part of in that one chapter in your book, A Love Affair with Yourself Unleashes Greatness, I gave
yeah.
a chuckle of that. I haven't had that kind of love
mm-hmm.
affair. That might be worth trying. So.
Well, I mean, Rob, you have great energy. I already sensed that love for yourself through this interview.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, but that's the aspect, I think, we really do have to just embrace who we are, we're not perfect. People just aren't perfect, and sometimes, people try to project, perfection. I personally know that I'm not. I'm happy to admit that I'm not. I say sorry when I'm wrong. I apologize. To me, it is no big deal for me to, exclaim my imperfection, but I do know several people who just find that very difficult, to say I'm sorry, or to admit that they're wrong, or that maybe their perspective is not the one, that the world holds, or maybe some of those people in the first degree of their connection don't hold. Those kinds of things, to me, it's just, that hiding behind that really is, I think, if you feel that if you try to project perfection and you're not, and people aren't, that seems like it's a huge effort to be putting forth that really is unnecessary.
Yes, I agree. A perfectionistic part is an extreme. That's putting on a mask, because it's afraid that it's afraid of something. Again, it's doing its job. You have to be perfect. It's afraid something's going to happen. And people with perfectionistic parts oftentimes have that part of them that had disapproval when they didn't get the A. Mom and dad were constantly looking for perfection at the piano, with grades, with sports. So they don't even know that they're driven to perfection, because they think that that's the only way they'll be loved. And also, and they don't realize that it's okay to be perfectly imperfect, because we are all imperfect.
Yeah,
and when you do
exactly.
this work, you realize, wow, I'm burdened with all this stuff. Now I could see everybody through that lens, that when somebody acts out, they're angry, they, have a temper. Whoa, it's just a part of them that's reacting to something because they're afraid of something. Instead of you being angry at them, you have compassion for why this part of them is acting up. It's not the real them. It's a part.
Yeah. In that sense, to me, that makes relationships work, you know, so much better when you have that compassion and understanding. And, you know, if anything, it makes your life, you know, the person who has that life better. It makes your life better in that you don't get anxious, you don't take things personally, you don't get triggered, you know. I mean, there's just a whole lot of positive that it helps the individual if they have that. But we're down to the last few minutes, Emily. Boy, this hour has just flown by. So is there any, maybe, are there any maybe final words or anything that maybe we didn't cover that you would like to share with the listeners?
So my number one tip is just do the work to fall madly in love with yourself. And that's through doing this healing work of getting to know all the subpersonalities that's inside of you. And when you know how they've protected you, and that's through some of the vulnerable memories out of the past, that's when you're going to fall in love with yourself. And that energy of self-love and belief in you will help you to manifest magic in your business, in your relationships, for your health, and ultimately for joy. You're going to manifest, you're going to feel so joyful when you come home to your true self, because happiness is not, you can't get happiness by having something. Happiness and joy is within, and when you have that joy, then you'll be able to achieve your goals. You must have goals, but your happiness cannot be dependent on those goals. You got to be happy first before you achieve your goals, because happiness is going to help you achieve your goals.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, I was actually just saw someone this weekend who had just returned from Honduras. They were doing missionary work down there, and we're talking about just how happy people were and how little that they had, you know, and to them it was just, you know, one of those eye-opening things. You know, the realization that happiness comes from within. It doesn't, it's not anything that you have or, you know, where you are. It's just an internal state.
Yeah. Yeah. And so don't forget that if anyone wants this healing set, they could go to nonegativetalk.com, and you'll get an immediate download of this healing set so you get familiar with what they are. You could do some of the work on your own. And then if you want to take it further, then there's practitioners that you can look up with this healing model. My recommendation is for people to read the book first so they understand what this is all about. Because reading the book itself, I've had emails that come through like, wow, my life started to change when I read your book. Because now I know why I'm stuck. Now I know why my mother is not nice to me.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And, yeah. So how to permanently erase negative self-talk so you could be extraordinary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got some very good reviews on there from Amazon, quite a few. So definitely for people
Great.
To check it out. So thank you again, Emily, for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Emily Filaramo, and she is author of How to Permanently Erase Negative Self-Talk So That You Can Be Extraordinary. And again, you can find out more about Emily by visiting her website, which is www.bemoreextraordinary.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.